Little ones, you are dismissed to children's church. Any little ones that would like to go to that, now is the time. We'd sure invite you and encourage you to do that. And the rest of us, I want to encourage us to just take one more look at our bulletin. If you would look at the names there on the prayer focus, please be reminded of all those names. There's a lot of them. And there are those among us that have lost their loved ones lately. We want to remember those on the prayer focus, as well as those that are hurting from the loss of their loved ones. Would encourage you to also add Larry Hullab's brother Gene on your list. He's had cancer for a while and has two strokes lately. And so I wonder if we might just lift these folks up to the Lord in prayer. And so maybe you see a name on there and somebody that you know, or a couple of names on there. Can we just lift these folks up in prayer to the Lord again now? Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful this morning to you for your goodness. We are so grateful to you, O God, for your grace. Your mercies are new every morning. You're willing to forgive. You're willing to redeem. You've sent us your Son. You've sent us your Spirit. You've given us your Word. We are so thankful today, Father, for the blessings of life, the blessings that we can know in Jesus Christ, the hope that is ours in heaven, having put our faith and trust completely in your Son as our Savior. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. A beautiful morning, a warm place, comfortable place to worship, a nation where we can do that, a nation where we are still free to do that. We have so much to be thankful for, oh God. And yet, many hearts are heavy this morning, Father, because of the conditions of America, because of aches and pains and cancer and all that stuff in our bodies, because of the loss of our loved ones, because of surgeries upcoming and just have happened. But in spite of all of that, we want to worship you, Lord. We want to cry out, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name to be praised this morning and always. And so we lift up those on the prayer list and those that are hurting and struggling. We lift them up to you, Lamb of God. We lift them up to you, Heavenly Father, and ask for a divine touch of the Master's hand, for comfort, for strength, for healing, for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, whatever the case may be. We lift our community and our nation up to you, O God. Heal us, Father, we pray. Thank you for the way you have blessed us in this congregation. Use us, O God, to bring you glory, I pray. Use us to bring you glory here in these communities where we live, but also in the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for how you have brought us all together. Breathed onto us your Spirit. Now use us to bring you glory, O God. I just pray that you'd continue to guide us this morning in our worship of you. Help us to set the things of the week aside that trouble us, or lay them at your feet and allow you to minister to us as we worship you. Guide us as we look at Scripture a little while, Lord, I pray. Help us to learn a little bit from you again, I pray, in the precious name of our Lord. Amen. Do you have those pictures? Kayla, do you have those pictures? I want to just say a brief word. A lot of you remember this spring, I think it was early spring, Don Korak, our missionary from Costa Rica, was here. Do you remember that? Some of you remember when Don was here? He was actually here last Sunday, too. He's still visiting his parents right here at Lincoln, and he'll probably be here in second service, too. But Don was telling us last spring when he's here about the way they minister, train up the indigenous peoples in their own place, send them back out to their villages to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ and to tell them, help them learn more about the Bible. Well, Don does in Mutual Faith Ministries is pull together these people, train them extensively in the Bible so they can go home to their place and they can teach others. When he was here, he was saying they'd like to go into Venezuela, and he told us a little bit about the troubles in Venezuela. When he was here, he told us they'd like to go into Panama. There's challenges there too, lots of languages and lots of barriers and stuff. But they didn't have all the resources to go all the places they wanted to go, and so this congregation blessed them with that day's offering, and in turn, they turned all of that into materials for Venezuela and Panama. Shut this light off, can you, Kayla, so they can see those beautiful dresses? I can see them real nicely back there. These are Panamanian people, some of which literally walked up to 3 days to get to this training. Now, they may not have walked in them dresses, but they walked there nonetheless. They didn't bring tents. They didn't have motels. They slept under the stars for several days while Don's team was training them in the ways of Jesus. They ate nothing but white rice. They slept under the stars, and they received with joy the good news of Jesus so they could take this material and go back to their villages and their places in very, very rural Panama and tell them there's good news. That's the Panamanian folks. One more. I think we have one more. And go to the next one. I think there might even be one more. I don't know how well you can see this, but these are Venezuelan people. Notice the wonderful benches that they have, just a log. But that's how they learn for days, sitting on those logs for 8 hours a day. But they're hungry to receive this training in the ways of God, in the ways of Jesus. And so Don and I spent 2 or 3 hours together this week, and he updated me about all of this stuff that's happening. And these two particulars, Panama and Venezuela, primarily because of the offering that we were able to give him last spring. We support him a little every month, but that offering made it really, really possible to make a lot of material to train a lot more people in two very remote places. And so I wanted you to see that, and I wanted to invite you to give God glory this morning for that. Okay. I'm really excited when I know that we can make a little difference somewhere in our community or around the world. Don't you? Don't you get excited about that? Amen. To make an eternal difference someplace around the globe. Yes, right here, Motley, Pillager, Philbrook, Lincoln, wherever. But to make a little difference somewhere around the world, I am just so blessed to be part of that, and I want to thank you for your generosity in that too. Today we're continuing to talk about urgent times, and I thought about the topic of love, and I know I've spoken about love before, but when I think about the troubled times that we are in, I just think we could use a little more love. Don't you? I don't mean like the Beatles sang about either. Some of you don't even know what the Beatles are. Some of us do. They sang about all you need is love. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about if Christians, if we, brothers and sisters, could display more often, more, take more opportunities just to love the Lord our God, and in so doing, love our neighbors around us a little bit more. Oh, how our nation needs a little more love. I believe that one of the most visible things that should set followers of Jesus apart is this thing called love. Don't you agree, brothers and sisters? as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, our ability to love should set us apart. I don't mean just the skin deep kind either. I mean that kind of love that was demonstrated by Jesus on the cross. That said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As he hung there on the cross for our sin. I mean the kind of love that was demonstrated by our Lord when he took off his outer garment and wrapped himself with a towel and he stooped down and he began to wash the nasty old feet of his disciples. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Or the kind of love that Jesus talked about when he told the story about the Good Samaritan who went out of his way on the road. He didn't have to stop and take care of this guy. After all, the priest and the Levite had already gone right by. And the Samaritan took the time to demonstrate love. That's the kind I'm talking about. In the Gospels, after all, we see the words of Jesus reiterated over and over and over. We, followers of Christ, are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our strength, with all of our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. He tells us that over and over and over. And it is not just in word, brothers and sisters. He tells us, when I say He, Jesus tells us, to take it even a step further, to love your enemies and do good to those who spitefully use you, which is a demonstration of love. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 13:34, I've got a number of scriptures, I don't know how much I'll get through today, but in John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Have you ever thought about for a little while how He loved them? It wasn't just washing their feet. It wasn't just feeding them. It wasn't just dying for them, although that's the ultimate. He also forgave them. And all these things, He says, I expect you followers to love others like I have loved you. By this, He said, then in the next verse, when you do that, when you demonstrate that kind of love to people, including the unlovable, He said, when you do that, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so let me ask us to ponder this for a minute, friends. Do others know you are a disciple, or me either for that matter? Do others know that we are a disciple of Most High God, of Jesus the Christ, because of our love for other people? Or when we put that in the balance, is there nothing to show when it comes to our love? Is there only bitterness or anger or hatred or resentment or something else? Jesus said, all will know you are my disciples if you love each other. Does that mean I'm not His disciple if I don't love? Let me just say this. The ability to love others, whether friend or foe, is a telltale sign of being a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. The world around us is falling apart. Maybe you've noticed. Anybody noticed? That's why I'm talking about urgent times these last five, six, whatever it is, seven Sundays. The world around us is falling apart. Hatred abounds, strife and dissension at every level of society, and sometimes even hatred and strife and dissension even in the church. And Jesus said in these verses, people will only see Jesus and know that we are His when we have the ability to love people that aren't lovable. I realize that loving the unlovable is probably going against the grain. It might be going against your grain. I know that. But that is what a Christ follower is called to do. Amen? To love even our enemies. And Jesus said, when we start demonstrating that, people will start seeing that you are my disciples. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, There's this long list of things that Paul told Timothy will happen in the last days. I've read this to you before. You've read it on your own. I want to read it really quickly and pull out a word from there. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be," listen to this now, "lovers of themselves, lovers of money," then he throws in boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. You see, he lists all these things: love self, love money, love pleasure, but are unloving. How does that compute? I like the King James Version, because it uses a little different scenario with this word unloving. It uses the phrase no natural affection. Have you seen any no natural affection lately, brothers and sisters? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I don't know if you heard this horrifying fact yesterday or not, but there was just 84 children released from sex slavery this past week. Did anybody hear that? Did you read that? I did too. It just broke my heart. 84 children, the youngest one was 3 months, being farmed out sexually. And that 3-month-old sibling at 5, the same. The parents were involved in some of these children in farming them out as sex slaves. That's no natural affection. Natural affection would be when that set of parents receives that baby for the first time. That mother's lying there, just gave birth, and receives that baby on her bosom. And oh, how she's fell in love with that baby. That is natural affection. And today, we live in a time when that has gone out the window. No natural affection, even for our kids in some cases. Natural affection when we see people traveling down the road, or when we're traveling down the road and we are down the street and we see someone hurting or suffering and paying no attention whatsoever, is no natural affection. Paul said we'd get to that time. When we see rioting in the streets, we've seen it on the TV way too much in the last few years, and chaos happening. We just saw that in Las Vegas. All this stuff, it seems like it becomes a feeding frenzy, like dogs attacking a rabbit or coyotes attacking a sheep or something. They smell blood and they just go for the gusto. It seems like people have become the same way. Well, I've got some feeding frenzy going on here, and we beat and we maim and we kill and we shoot. We have no natural affection even for people anymore. That's exactly what he's talking about. We will be lovers of ourselves. We will be lovers of pleasure. We will be lovers of men and money, but we don't love each other. And I simply ask myself, Jim, you're part of the church. Are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? Where is the church? Are we loving the way we've been instructed to love? Are we known for our love, as Jesus said, you should be if you will love? And I ask myself, Jim, will you, as part of the church, rise up and show love in spite of the surroundings? And I ask myself, will we in the church rise up and show love just because we may be in the end times, the perilous times that Paul described to Timothy, and he said people will not even have any natural affection for each other anymore? Does that mean the church should stoop to that low too? I say no. We should continue to do what we've been commanded to do, and that's love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 24:9 and through 12, there will come a time when they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you, and you, followers of Christ, will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another, and false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And I ask again, when Jesus says, these are the words of Jesus, Will the church rise up and show love in spite of lawlessness and the love of many growing cold? First John 4, 7 and 8, John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." That's pretty simple to understand, is it not, brothers and sisters? If we have no ability to love somebody else, he says that he who doesn't love doesn't even know God, because God is the very essence of love. He is the very author of love. And when we surrender our lives to Christ and are filled with His Holy Spirit, who is love, it should be something that is a natural byproduct of who we are. Because God lives in us, we should love with a new ability. And if we don't, John says, you don't even know God. In 1 John 3, 16 through 18, he writes, "By this we know love, because He," that's Jesus, "laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart after him, how does the love of God abide in that?" He's talking about demonstrating love. My little children, 1 John 3:18, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's what God has called the church to love in deed and in truth. I can say I love my neighbor all day long, but He's asking me to take it a step further, love him in deed and in truth. I am so encouraged by the examples of Jesus and His loving the unlovely. But I'm also so encouraged by your examples of showing love to some of your neighbors. I am encouraged to know that how you take care of each other from time to time. I am so encouraged to see some of you rise up beyond the hatred being spewed all over our nation, and some of you rise up anyway and love your neighbors and sometimes even love your enemies. I am so encouraged by that. In spite of all the difficulties around us, brothers and sisters, the commands of God haven't changed. When He said, "Love the Lord our God with all of our heart and love our neighbors as ourselves, even our enemies and those who persecute us," are all commands of Jesus. And He said to do it in deed and in truth. That hasn't changed. Yes, the Apostle Paul said there's a time coming when people won't be loving towards each other. Oh, they'll love themselves, but they won't have any love to pass around. That should not be the case for the people of God. Last scripture I want to share with us is from Luke 6, 27 through 36. It's the example that Jesus lays out to us again in loving our neighbors. Luke 6, 27 to 36 says, "But I say to you who hear," you see, he throws in that little caveat, that little disclaimer, that little punchline, "I say to you that are listening." I say to you, if you will listen, I say to you that who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. No, that's not easy. But He didn't turn us loose on our own. We've got the Holy Spirit of God in us. The church is the bride of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's impossible if we don't know Christ to love our enemies. That's impossible. Only through God's goodness and grace and mercy and love can we love those who are our enemies. But He said to do it anyway. Love your enemies. Don't just stop at loving your spouse or loving your kids. Love your enemies, Church of God, He said. We live in a time where love would really do us some good in America. Demonstrated love. And Jesus said, "Bless those who curse you," in the same verse, "and pray for those who spitefully use you." And He even took it a step further in the Gospel of Luke. "To those who strike you on the one cheek, offer the other one too." You say, Jim, I'm pretty sure I couldn't do that. I was with pastors yesterday in a meeting, and we were talking about the horrors of sex trafficking and sex slavery, because our leader and his wife had been to a seminar in Indianapolis recently regarding such matters. And one pastor said his daughter had been raped 3 times in 1 week by one guy. And he said, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to love at that point. I get it. I get that. But friends, listen to me. When and if the church will bring ourselves to these directives of Jesus, doing good to those who hate you, loving your enemy, offering the second cheek to those that have struck you on the cheek the first time, I believe when we do what Jesus asks us to do, He will take it up from there. And I believe He will do a work in people that is supernatural. Jesus said, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Did you get that? That's the thief that just stole your goods. Don't even go looking for them. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you, O Church of God? If all I'm going to do is love those that are good to me, or all I'm going to do is love my kids and my grandkids and my spouse and my family, and what good is that, he said, preacher or Church of God? What credit is to you if you're only going to love those that like you? Even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who, from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love, he says it again, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Here's the bottom line today, friends. Then we'll close with our last song. We have been commanded, if we are followers of Jesus, we have been commanded to love the unlovable. We have been commanded to go out of our comfort zone, out of our way in the pathway of life, and to love on those who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who don't have a background like us. We have been commanded to love them too. Yes, to those who demonstrate in the streets. Yes, to those who are going completely against what we stand for. Yes, to those who take life and limb. God has commanded His followers to love in radical ways. And if we don't, or we won't, or we're not comfortable, or we're just going to make excuses for loving, then I suggest two things. How will those unlovable ever see Jesus if we don't? And number two, we in the church are just plain disobeying His commands. And so may I suggest to us, friends, in a time of urgency in America, we find ways to love that are brand new. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the very essence of love. and you loved us at our worst. Thank you for that. You loved us so much that you sent your Son, your only one, to die a miserable, wretched, horrible, torturous death on the cross for our sin. You loved us that much. Jesus, when He was here among us, demonstrated over and over and over to love those that were seemingly by society the unlovable, and He asked us to do the same. Help us, Father, by Your Spirit to be known by our love because we are Christ followers. And help us to understand, Heavenly Father, that we will never be able to love our enemies until we have surrendered completely to Jesus Christ. Surrendered all of our agenda, all of our feelings, and all of our will to Jesus the Christ. And allowed Your Spirit to come in and flow through us and to fill us up so that we too can love the unlovable as Jesus did. And so I'd ask, beginning with me, Heavenly Father, give us an extra portion and measure of Your strength so we can do what You've commanded us to do. May we be known by our love for others, not a pat on our back, but may we be known by our love for You demonstrated to others. And so if You would give us opportunities this week to love our neighbor, help us not to fail that little opportunity, but to see that as an opportunity to use to bring You glory and maybe give that person a little bit of softer heart to allow You to work in their heart. Thank You for loving us the way that You do. Help us to love that way to those around us. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.